It's always fun when you come out and you start the service and you see the people that are here. Then you come out when it's time for me to share God's word. You guys just seem to multiply. I don't know how it works, but you guys just seem to multiply. I was visiting somebody the other day and they were talking about, you know, people have a habit of being late, all right? You know, coming in after things start rolling and start moving along. And he called it Mormon time. He goes, we have Mormon time. And I'm going, oh, okay, so Baptists aren't the only one that have Baptist time. I guess, you know, we all have different time schedules. But I'm excited about today. We're going to wrap up. We're getting near the end of 40 days in the Word. We're getting near the end. This is the last week. We're kicking off the last week. You got just a few lessons to go, a few devotionals to go. I've only got about 4 devotionals left to finish up for myself. And I'm going to wrap this up. I've been enjoying it. I pray you've been enjoying it as much as I have. I mean, it's been a great experience. But here's my challenge. We're finishing 40 days. But does that mean I stop reading the Bible? Does that mean I stop studying? Does that mean I stop memorizing? Does that mean I can just kind of put all that aside now and just go on with what I've been doing and kind of go on with my life? Here's my challenge, and this is part of the problem that I see and that I've experienced, all right? It's not that it's just that with you guys. We seem to compartmentalize our lives. We kind of have, this is my church life or maybe Sunday morning life, and then I have my Monday morning go to work life, and then I have my family life, I have my school life, I have my friendship life, and we kind of compartmentalize our life. You know, it's like, you know, I can act one way here and I live by one set of rules and one kind of a lifestyle. But then when I'm over here, I live by a different set of rules and a different set of lifestyles. And we seem to do that. And I want to challenge that. And that's what this study's really been about. You know, we've been talking about how do you get the Word of God from here into here. But it doesn't end when it's in here. It ends when it becomes action in our life. And I think you've been following what Rick has been saying through all these devotionals. He keeps driving home application, application, application. What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? And that's what my challenge is. And I don't think we want to stop now. I'm praying that you don't want to stop now, that this is not, well, we finished 40 days. Shh, that's another 40 days gone. We already got the next one set now that you get an idea of what we're going to do next October. We're going to go into what's my life meant to be? And we're going to begin looking at that. What on earth am I here for? But let's wrap this one up and say, I'm not done. I'm not done. You know, when I first became a Christian and God called me to the ministry, I was getting ready to go to college. I'm going to go to Bible college, California Baptist University now. And I'm going to go down to California Baptist University and I'm going to go there. And I had only been a Christian a few years. I grew up with the Bible when I was growing up. We had to go to church. But I had some questions about the Bible. I didn't understand this book. I had a lot of questions. So I'm going to go down to college, and I'm going to go to Cal Baptist College, and they'll answer my questions. And so I went off to college, and I took classes, like just a whole semester on the Sermon on the Mount, 3 books, 3 chapters in the book of Matthew. I took a whole semester just on the one book called Deuteronomy. And so I got some questions answered, but you know the problem was? I got more questions. And so then I went from California Baptist College to Golden Gate Baptist Theological Seminary. Let's go get a master's degree. Let's go study the Bible more. So I go up to Golden Gate, and I spend another 3 years going through studying this book and wrestling with questions that I had. And I graduate there, but guess what? They didn't answer all my questions. Now, I've been pastoring here for 29 years, a couple of years before here. I still got questions. I still wrestle with this book. But I'm hoping you don't think, well, I've had 40 days, I'm done. Well, I've had, let's see, 2 years at Cal Baptist, 3 years at Golden Gate, but that wasn't enough, so I went back and went another 2 years to get a doctorate. Plus, I've been working at it for 29 years, 30 years, and I still don't get it. So I want to encourage you, 40 days is not enough. All right? We need more. Look at what God's word says. I think this amazing passage right here. Look at what it says. Jesus said to the Jews who believed in him, if you continue in my word, you will really be my disciples. Did he say, if you do it 40 days, you're going to be my disciples? That's what it says, right? You did a 40-day study. You got it made. Now you can just cruise through life. Well, I want to challenge us, and this is a challenge. I don't want us to compartmentalize our life. Because if you look at the title of the message, let me get your outline out. You look at the title of the message, it's called Integrating God's Word into Your Life. That's the challenge. Not 40 days. But how do I get it from these pages into the activity, into the decisions, into my lifestyle? You know what the key word in this is? Integrating? It's called integrity. Same root word. See, we compartmentalize our lives. When I act one way at church and I act a different way at home and I act a different way at work and I act a different way at school and I act a different way with my friends. You know, I got my Christian friends and I behave one way and then I got my other friends and I behave a different way. There's no integrity in that. And I'm going to tell you, people notice that. And so what I want to challenge us with and really what I want us to do this morning is I really want us to put our lives together. To have everything mish, to have everything working together and just kind of clicking along in our lives. And how do we do that? And I think 40 days is the start of it. I think getting into God's Word every day, just a few minutes. I mean, those devotionals, 8, 9, 10 minutes. I've enjoyed those different preachers. It's been awesome hearing them share God's Word. Reading the book of Philippians, reading the book of James, reading the Gospel of Mark, and getting into it. So what I want to challenge us to do, and what I want to help us do this morning is that this doesn't end today or when your 40 days is over. Mine's going to end about Thursday. I'm going to wrap up all 40 days. I think it's Thursday when I read my last study, watch the last devotional. For me, it'll be Thursday. I don't know what your day is, but is that the end of it? So how do I keep it going? How do I take God's Word into every day of my life? That's what I want to look at. Here's a hint. Hopefully, you've been memorizing some verses. How many people, now I'm going to put it this way, how many of you have tried, all right? Tried. How many have tried to memorize those Bible verses? All right. Looking good out there. You know, we try, all right? I said here, I'm going to tell you, I've memorized them. Now, don't ask me to quote them, okay? Yeah, I've memorized them. I know them. But if you put me on the spot, I mean, if I'm out here walking around behind the curtain like I was a little while ago, I can quote them. You know, Psalm 119, 11. You know, Psalm 119, 105. Psalm 119, 18. See, I got them quoted. See? You know, Colossians 3:16. Man, I can quote them all. You know, I've got them down. James 1:22. Come on, anybody? But what I want to do this morning, I kind of want to take those verses and show you how to build your life on those verses. Just six things real quick. We got another one we're going to memorize this week. Six things. I'm going to go real quick. So you're going to have to follow quick. Turn on your ears high speed. We're going to go quick. I've been going too long. I want to go through these. So let's look at what God says and how can I put this into my life? But it's going to begin with this. You've got to want to. Look at this next scripture with me. You have to want to. I want most of all and at all times is to honor your laws. You got to have a desire. You're not going to do it if you don't desire it. You're not going to try. You're not going to put any effort into it. You're just, it's just there. So I want to challenge you to desire. I want to challenge your desires this morning to grow in Christ. I want to challenge your desires to make God's Word part of your daily life. Even if you just read one verse, just one verse, because I believe this. If you read one verse, you're going to want to read more. I'm serious. I'm just going to read one verse, and all of a sudden you start reading the whole story, and pretty soon you're reading the whole chapter. Then all of a sudden you're reading the whole book, and I was just going to read one verse. I was just going to pray a short prayer, and all of a sudden you sat there 10 minutes, and you can't, man, I was just going to share a quick prayer. But God seemed to lay things on your heart and on your mind. But you got a desire. So here's six things real quick based on those memory verses. Six things based on our memory verses that you can do to help your life integrate God's Word into every aspect of your life. The first thing you got to do is you got to build on it. Now, where it says it, put a cross through that, put an X through that, write Bible. That's what we're talking about. You got to build on the Bible. You got to build your life on the Bible. You're building your life on something. Some people build their lives on money. and the pursuit of money. Anybody have friends like that? Anybody know anybody I'm talking about like that? They're building their life on the pursuit of money. Some are building their life on the pursuit of career. Laura likes watching Christmas shows. And I watched a Christmas show with her yesterday. Christmas, not even Thanksgiving yet. And we're watching Christmas shows. And this girl was pursuing her career. All she was doing, pursuing her career. And she got killed in a car accident. Well, at least the show implied she got killed. In the end, she came back. She was in a coma. But the point was, she realized while she was in the coma, all she was pursuing was her career. She had built her life on her career. And she had missed out. And she had a second chance. Isn't it good to get a second chance with God? That's exciting. Yeah. But what are you building your life? What principles, what things are undergirding your life? What is the foundation of your life? Is it money? Is it work? Is it pleasure? Is it happiness? What are you know, I'm just going to be happy. That's all. I just want to be happy. God just wants you to be happy. I got news. God doesn't want you just to be happy. Happiness fades quick. Anybody know that one? God wants more. So what's the foundation of your life? What are you establishing that your life on? What are you building your life on? And I want to challenge you to build your life on God's word. I want to challenge you to build your life on truth, on God's truth. We had a memory verse. Anybody remember this verse? Anybody? Matthew 7. Anybody? Look at the scripture. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Like I said, this might be one of those verses you read. So I'm just going to read one verse and I'll say, well, I got to read the rest of the story. Here's the story. There's a story behind this verse. You know, Jesus had just finished the Sermon on the Mount and he's challenging them. Here's the teachings. Here's the principles for life. Here's how to build your life with integrity. And he lays this all out in that Sermon on the Mount. And then when he finished, he says, listen, you got a choice. You can build your life on sand, that when the storms come and the seas crash in on it and things come up in your life, that's going to wash it away and it's going to come down and crash. Or you can build your house on a rock, on truth. That's what I want to say. See, truth never changes. You know what's interesting to me? Science proclaims we help you discover truth. Isn't that what science says? We want you to discover truth. And is it? Let's see. Science said the world was flat for a long time. No. That doesn't seem too true to me. Although there's still people who are called that believe the world's still flat. Get on the internet. It's really fun to see what people believe. Yeah. Science said that man was the center of the universe, that everything circulated around the earth. That's what science said at one time. Is that true? No. Science said Pluto was a planet. Now it says it's not. Is that true? You know, science proclaims truth, but it's not. See, truth is something that was true 100,000 years ago. It's going to be true today, and it's going to be true 1,000 years from today. What is that truth? I've got one thing that's never changed over thousands and thousands of years. The truth hasn't changed. I was watching a commercial showing some future show saying, are we meant to be monogamous? It's going to talk about sex. And they're going to do a show on sex, and they're talking about, is mankind meant to be monogamous? Well, I got news for you. Yes. How do I know? Because the Bible says so. All right? They can do any study they want. Just because they say it doesn't make it true. I don't know. Let me ask you this question here. Some of you who are married, ladies who are married, how many of you want to share your husband with another woman? I don't see any hands going up. Now, you notice I didn't ask the guys that, right? Guys are perverts, okay? You know? Maybe I shouldn't have said that, but. But you know what I'm saying? They say, are we men? You know, it's like, what's the truth? And what I want to advocate to you is truth is the true. True is true today to be true tomorrow. What hasn't changed for 1,000 years? This. When God says man was created, woman was created for man, it's supposed to be a monogamous relationship. I don't care what they say. You know, truth is true. It's it. And God's word is true. But the problem is we have some things that challenge that. And so I got four things real quick. I'm going to go these. Here's people, and maybe you've heard this. People build their lives on popular culture. Everybody's doing it. It's cool. It's the in thing. See, I grew up with, man, that's cool, man. We got to do that. Yeah, that's cool. Everybody's doing it. Everybody's hanging out. Everybody else is in it. Why can't I do it? It's the thing that's in. It's the thing that everybody's doing, and it fits. Popular culture. It's okay today. But tomorrow it might be different. If it feels good, do it. You know, you hear this popular culture. Who wants to build their life on? Look what the scripture says. Look at this passage. Do not follow the crowd in doing wrong. How many of you raised your kid and said, well, anybody tell their kid this? Or maybe you were a kid. Maybe you've heard this one. Yeah. Well, would your friend, if your friend jumped off the Golden Gate Bridge, would you too? Yeah. Because, well, everybody else is doing it. Popular culture is not a good foundation. I'm going to tell you, when the storms of life come, when you're hit by the waves of trouble and the stress of life, it ain't going to hold up. Look at the second one here. How about tradition? We've always done it this way. It's just the way we do things. That's how we've always done it. I remember a story one time. Some lady was making a ham, and she had a friend there. And she had bought one of these large hams. And as she was preparing the ham, she cut the end of the ham off and set it to the side and put the ham in the pan and put the pan in the oven. And her friend was sitting there watching her do this and just goes, you know, what are you doing? Why'd you cut the end of the ham off? You know, why did you do that? And she goes, oh, I don't know. That's what my mom always did, so I'm just cut the end of the ham off. Yeah. Oh, okay, you know. But made that girl think about it. And so the next day, a few months later, she's over with mom, and mom is preparing dinner, and it come to her mind as she's watching mom work on dinner. She goes, Mom, my friend asked me the other day why I cut the end of the ham off, and I told her it's because that's how I seen you always do it. And she goes, yeah, I always cut the end of the ham off. Well, why did you do it? My pan was too small, so I had to cut the ham down to fit the pan. Do we have any traditions like that, that we just do it because we've always, you know, it's just what we always do. I mean, everybody, we've always done it that way. I'm going to tell you, those are seven deadly words in the church, okay? That's one of the glory I praise this church for. You ask Martha and Rose and some of those that's been around a long time in the church, we've challenged pretty much every tradition this church has ever had. It's been an interesting journey, and they've been willing to challenge those traditions because tradition has a place, but sometimes it's time to change. Look what the scripture says. You have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to human traditions. See, they had to wash their hands in the right way. You know, they had to cook certain ways. They couldn't walk, you know, on Sunday morning, you know, we're going to take a walk around Salida. They couldn't do that. That would be called work. And they had replaced God's teachings with traditions. Is that what you want to build your life on? Traditions? That might change. How about this? How about simple reason? It just makes sense. You know, it just makes sense. It's the right thing to do. It adds up. Have you ever made a decision that sounded right, sounded good, and yet after you made the decision, you look at it and go, what was I thinking? Anybody? Anybody been in that boat? You know, you thought this through. You figured it all out. You got it all out. It's the right thing to do. It makes sense. It adds up. It's logical. And yet, it didn't work. Reason is not always the best thing. Simply reasoning things out, just simply making things work. It seems right. It sounds right. It sounds good. It looks right. And we go with it. See, reason is not always the best way. Look at what the scripture says. There is a way that appears to be right, but in the end leads to death. It looks right. It looks good. Anybody ever seen a mirage? You know, you ever drive down the road, you know, driving down the freeway or something, and there's a big puddle of water out there, it's hot in the day. The sun's shining bright, you know, it's 100 degrees out there, and for some reason there's a puddle of water right in the middle of the freeway. Where'd that water come from? But you get up to the water and it's gone. Where'd that water go? It evaporated before you got there. It looked like it was there. It made sense. I mean, come on, it was there. Reason doesn't always give you the best decision. The fourth thing, and this is probably the biggest one, emotions. How many people let emotions rule their life? Anybody got friends like that? Get bounced around by their emotions? It feels good. It feels right. I just go by my feelings. Feelings. What's that song? Anybody know that song? Yeah. I'm not going to sing it, okay? Don't worry. Yeah. that we do this. It's just, you know, it feels right. It was the right thing to do. Have you ever felt something was, it feels good, but it's not good? Have you been in a situation where it really felt good or it really felt bad and it felt like it's not working, and yet you look back on it, it was really doing well? Feelings are not always the best judge. Do feelings ever lie? Do your feelings ever tell you a lie? We need to watch these kind of things. See, so here's what I want to ask. What do you want to build your life on? What are you going to establish your life on? Is it going to be what popular culture says? Is it going to be your emotions? Oh, it just makes sense. It's just tradition. We've always done it that way. Because see, I'm going to tell you, storms are going to come to your life. You're going to have problems. You're going to have struggles. Life's going to throw some curveballs at you, and it's going to hurt. What are you going to be standing on when it happens? Is it going to knock you down? Is it going to toss you around? Or are you going to be able to stand strong because you have some solid biblical teaching? See, it doesn't matter. I'm going to tell you, it doesn't matter if you agree with it. Well, it doesn't matter if it's politically correct. It doesn't matter if you like it. If it's a foundation, it's what you need. So the first thing you need to do, if you're going to integrate God's word into your life, you've got to build your life on it. You've got to build your life on the principles of God. The second thing I put down here is this. I need to feed on it. It being the Bible. Oh, I didn't read a verse, did I? At that time, there was no king in Israel. People did whatever they felt like doing. Well, I just felt like it. You know, sometimes I don't feel like getting up in the morning. Anybody been in that one besides me? I don't want to get up. I don't feel like getting up. If you only do what you feel like, you're going to be in trouble sooner or later. Yeah. Feelings are not the best. Let's go on to feed on it. Let's feed on it. It being the Bible. I'm going to feed on the Bible. I need to put myself into the Word of God. I need to read, hear, listen. Let's think about God's Word. Here's the scripture passage that went with that. Remember this verse? Let the Word of Christ dwell in you. Anybody remember that one? That was the first one. Anybody got that one down? That was good. All right. Good for you guys. Yeah. Let the Word of Christ, are you feeding on the Word? See, my challenge in this study was to help you feed yourselves. How can I feed myself? How can I get God's Word out of this book into my life every day and not rely on somebody? You know, just like you need physical food, you need spiritual food. You know, if you're going to survive, and so you got to eat. You got to sustain your life some way, and it's going to come through God's Word, and you got to spend time with God's Word. And it's real interesting what the Bible calls the Word. You know, if you read it, you'll find some phrases like this. The Bible's called water. The Bible's called milk. The Bible's called meat. The Bible's called the bread of life. The Bible is called all sorts of words. It's what you need to live. I was looking at it, almost the four food groups are in there. Yeah. Just like you need that physical food, there's the spiritual food of God's Word. So how do you get the Bible? We started with this one. These are five things we started with. I'm going to hit them real quick because we already covered these in one of our messages. But look at this. You need to receive the Word with your ears. You need to hear it. You're here this morning and you're hearing the Word. You need to receive it with your ears. You need to... does anybody have the Bible on CD? Remember, it used to be on CD. It used to be cassette. Maybe you used to have the Bible on cassette. Then it's on CD. You've watched some devotionals, so you heard it with your ears on these devotionals. We've read it here. You've heard it as we've read God's Word. Yeah. But you need to hear God's Word. You need to listen to God's Word. But that doesn't work all the time because you know the statistic, right? 95% of what you hear, you forget. Some of this stuff, here's the thing that's astonishing me. Before you get from here to your car, you're probably going to forget 95% of what I said this morning. That's just the reality of how it is. That's why I want you guys to make notes. Well, I'll get down there in a minute, too. But you got to hear it, but that's not enough. How about you need to read it with your eyes? You need to read it. You need to spend time reading God's Word. You know, and here's what I wanted to say. I was kind of saying it earlier, but I want you to realize that. I'm going to challenge you. Just a verse. Just start with a verse. If you're not reading God's Word right now, just start with a verse. Just read a verse. Because here's what I understand and here's what I know. You know, when you eat, you get full, you quit eating. But spiritually, when you read God's Word, you want more of it. I guarantee you, like I said, I read that one verse, you know, You're going to build your house on the rock or the sand? Well, now I want to read the whole passage now. You'll get hungry for more of it. Just start with a little, and you'll be surprised with how much you want to read more. And so you want to read God's Word, and you want to see it and read it with your eyes. The next thing, you need to research it with your hands and your mouth. We talked about the difference between reading the Bible and studying the Bible. Remember, you got to get a notepad. You got to write down things. Write down your observation. Write down what you think. What is God saying to me? How can I rewrite this? What does this word say? How does it apply? What am I going to do with it? How can I pray it? All sorts of ways. But you begin to use your hands and you take some notes. And then you have your mouth. And we had our 40 days in our small groups. And you talk about it. And you share it. How many have been in a small group and you made your notes and you did your work during the week and you come to that small group and in the midst of that discussion, somebody says something, you say, I didn't think about that. And you make that little note there and you also add to it. We feed one another. Did you notice that? You know. So you got to get into God's Word. You feed on God's Word with your hands and with your mouth. You also reflect on God's Word with your mind. You might write the word meditate in there somewhere. You just kind of contemplate on the Word. You know, that's what happens when you try to memorize a word. You start, you know, let the word of Christ dwell in me richly. And all of a sudden you start, what does that mean? You talk to yourself. Anybody talk to themselves? You're not crazy if you talk to yourself. Now, if you do it a whole lot, you might be. You know. But I talk to myself all the time. And you're going, yeah, we know you are crazy, okay? You know. But you reflect on it. What is this verse? You know, God, what are you saying? What did you mean by richly? What did you mean by dwell? And you begin to think on it. And the final thing is, I remember it with my heart. And this is the one, out of all of these, that you guys struggle with the most, because it's called memorize God's Word. You need to memorize the Word of God. All right? Let me give you a little hint here. Now, it's very convenient for me because I have my Bible with me all the time, all right? Not this Bible. I have my Bible with me all the time because I have it on my, what? I got it on my phone. You can have it on your, but most of the time, you don't have your Bible with you. Now I'm going to ask you, how many times are you in trouble when you have your Bible with you? It's usually when you don't have it, isn't it? I'm in trouble and you need to memorize God's Word because sometimes you're going to be in trouble and your Bible's not going to be there. You need to memorize God's Word. Sometimes your friend is going to need your advice, and need your encouragement from God's Word, and you're not going to have it because your Bible's not there. You need to memorize God's Word. You need to spend time in God's Word. Let me kind of wrap this point up with a little illustration here. Because it's, you know, I got all those points. There's several of them. And I got me a glass of water, and I got me a tea bag. And let's say I'm going to spend time, I'm listening to God's Word today. This is my week. I'm listening to God's Word today. All right, I listen to God's Word. How much change has really happened in my life? I listened to God's Word today. Well, hey, you know, I read a little bit today. But, you know, I just keep, you know. Well, I reflected on that passage today. I tried to memorize that today. We got a new memory verse today. And, you know, is anything really happening to the water? You know, it just kind of. How's that water going to start to change? When is that water going to start to change? I got to spend more time. The longer I leave that tea bag in the water, the greater the change is going to be. And what's interesting is as I let this just kind of soak, pretty soon, you know what? I'm not going to call that water. That's not going to be water. If I let that soak and let that just kind of set there a while, it's going to turn into what? what? It's going to turn into tea. I won't call it water anymore. I'll call it tea. It's changed its character. It's changed its nature. Now, listen. If I take God's word and I hear it and I read it and I put my mouth and my hands into it and I reflect on it and I remember it in my heart, all of a sudden, my character and my nature changes. Is that true? See, I need to feed on God's word. If I want this to change in my life, I need to feed on God's word so it can change me and make me different. Because that takes me to that next point. Because really what I want to do is I want to live by it. I want to live by the Bible. I want the Bible standards. See, here's one of the things I deeply believe within my heart. If I live by this book right here, it makes my life so much easier. It uncomplicates my life. It makes my decisions really, when my friends come up, when somebody comes up, hey, let's go do this. Hey, let's do that. Hey, let's go watch this movie. Hey, let's, it makes it so much easier. Well, do I go watch it? Don't I? What should I do? I know what I should do. Yeah, you know, should I sit at the computer and go to the porn sites and mess around on the computer? Well, that's an easy decision. Well, what? Wait a minute. Porn is one of the number one money-making things on the internet. It must mean a lot of people do it, so it must be okay. How about having an affair? Well, let's, you know, everybody, 50% of marriages have affairs. Let's just have an affair. Everybody's doing it. See, the word makes it just, to me, it makes it so much easier when I live by the principles. See, the Bible sets a standard for me. It makes my decision so much easier. It uncomplicates life so much. It's like, it's right there. It's simple. To me, it makes sense. I'm going to tell you, to me, it makes sense. What should I do with Facebook? Who should I text message? Who should be my friends on Facebook? It's easy. Watch who you associate with. Don't be caught with the, well, what does it say? Let's see what the scripture says here. Blessed is the person who does not follow the advice of the wicked people, take the path of sinners, or join the company of mockers, whether he delights in the teaching of the Lord and reflects on his teachings day and night. Build your life on this, and I guarantee you, it'd be uncomplicated. The seas, the storms of life, they will not knock you down when you base your life on God's word, when you live by the biblical principle. Lives and the storms of life, your friends are going to tempt you to do things. Society is going to tempt you to do things. The world is going to say things are okay. Everybody's doing it. Don't worry about it. But I want to tell you, build your life on the standards of God. You need hope in the midst of a crisis, you're going to find it in the Bible. You need comfort in the midst of despair, you find it in the Bible. You need strength in the midst of weakness, you find it in the Bible. You need wisdom in the midst of confusion, you find it in the Bible. You need guidance and directions, you find it in the Bible. You need strength when tempted, you find it in the Bible. Is that all true? See, I want to challenge us as we look at God's word. What are you building your life on? What is it? See, I'm going to live by the simple standards that God set. And it just makes life so much easier. Now, I want to make sure you understand something. Does it mean I never make a mistake? Some of you are going, no, we know you, all right? Does it mean I'm perfect? No. Practically perfect, all right? Yeah. I'm going to get my picture with Mary Poppins and just kind of, hey, when we get our church, I'm going to put my picture with Mary Poppins in my office. Two practically perfect people. What do you guys think? Yeah. I mean, you know, I'm not there, but you know what? To the best of my ability, with God's wisdom and God's strength, with God's word in my heart, I'm going to try to do the best I can to make the best decision I can with his strength and wisdom. See, I'm going to try to live by what the Bible says, by what God says. When Jesus was tempted, you know what Jesus said when he was tempted? Three times. He was baptized. Just after he got baptized, he goes out in the wilderness and the devil comes up. Satan attacks. Isn't that funny? As soon as you try to serve God, Satan comes at you. Anybody know that one? I mean, as soon as you say, yes, God, I'm going with you, Satan goes, I'm going to get you. Yeah. The boogeyman, haunted mansions. But Satan was tempting Jesus, and Jesus was real quick. I mean, bang, bang, bang. Jesus said these words. But the Word of God says, but the Word of God says, but the Word of God, three times Satan came in, and three times Jesus defeated Satan by the Word of God. In the battles of your life, the foundation of your life, this is where you're going to find the defense for your life, the strength for your life, the wisdom for your life, the direction for your life. See, are you going to live by those biblical principles? How about this verse? Anybody recognize this one? I have hidden your word in my heart that I may not sin against you. Anybody recognize that one? Because that one was one of our... All right, you guys remembered. All right, you guys remembered the memory verse. All right, you need to live by those principles. What does it say? And when you do, you begin to get a new identity. Look at that. It's changing. Slowly but surely, it's changing. See, that's how God works on our life. We begin. You know what's interesting? As I thought about this illustration, what would make that turn to T quicker? What? Hot water. Maybe some of the troubles in my life are needed to make me grow faster in God. Oh. You mean some of my troubles are meant to help me become stronger? I mean, if I want my tea stronger, I boil it, right? I don't know about you. I still don't want problems, okay? I still don't want them. But we need to see that in our lives. Let's go on. I gotta pick it up. I grow through it. I grow through it. You got to grow through the Bible. We're going to mature. We're going to become bigger. We're going to become better. I preached a sermon at one of these in the series. We talked about the word being seed and that the word is God's seed. And I want to spend a few minutes on that. But look at what the scripture says here. This is our memory verse again. Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law. All right. But we talk about the Bible being seed, and that's how we grow. And we've seen the potential in those seeds, and we see what God has to say. And Jesus tells a great story. He paints a great picture. It's called a parable. And that parable, it's called the parable of the seeds and the sower. Anybody know where I'm going with this one? I think it's the Gospel of Luke, chapter 8. It might be 7. I'm not quite sure. You can check me if you want. Pull out your Bibles. Hint, hint. Go home. And look it up, because he has this parable. And here's a really interesting thing. A lot of people debate this parable. Is it talking about who's going to heaven and who's going to hell? That's what a lot of people get in an argument. What's it talking about? Well, if you follow the parable all the way to the very end, the point is, are you bearing fruit? We've talked about that through the whole series of messages, haven't we? So let's approach this parable from what it says it's about, the fruit. Are we producing fruit? What attitudes does it take to produce the fruit? What does my life need to be like? So he has four soils, all right? Jesus tells the parable, there's four soils. The first soil is hard ground. The farmer's out there throwing his seed. And it falls on the pathway, and it's hard soil. The hard soil is somebody who's got a closed mind. You know, I already know what I'm going to do. I don't care what God says. And I've heard people tell me that. I don't care what the Bible says. I don't care what God says. I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to marry that boy. I'm going to marry that girl. I don't care what God says. I already made my mind up. I don't care about what job God wants me to have. I already made my mind up. I don't care what God says about sex. I already made my mind up. It's fun. I'm going to do it before I get married. I don't care. I don't care about, you know, I've already made my mind up. See, if we already made our mind up, that's God's words. It's just bouncing off the ground. It's not doing anything. Nothing's happening. And so we need to change, and we need to have this. I want to put this, look at this, the answer is. I must cultivate an open mind. You must have an open mind. You must be open to what God is saying. You must be willing to listen to what God is saying. Don't already make your mind up. Too often it's like, I don't care what God says, I'm going. The second soil was kind of like a soil that was shallow. All right, it was shallow soil, so it's superficial mind. You come to church, you sit in church, it sounds good, it sounds okay. That's a good idea, Pastor. I really like that. But when you walk out the door, it's like, oh, forget it. You know, I'm going to go do. You know, you thought about it, you reflected on it, it just kind of, it sounded good, it looked good. Man, the pastor was sure convincing, man, that was a good message. But then you walk out that door and you just do whatever you want anyway. Just blow it off. That's superficial. What you need to have here and what I put here is you need to make time for God's word. You need to take some time. You need to take some time to reflect on it. That's one reason I really, you know, these outlines, you know, they're not for you. They're really for me, but they're really for you too. So that you have time to, you know, kind of reflect on this. I know some people that used to keep these things. I don't know why, other than maybe to help you. You know? But this superficial mind. How about the third ground? The third ground was it was in the weeds, all right? It was in the weeds. You get a preoccupied mind. Now, I think out of all four of these, I think most people fall into this one. Because most people, I'm busy. Places to go, things to do, people to see. This morning as I came to church, I seen kids getting their soccer uniforms on. They had their soccer uniforms on. They're waiting in front of the house for their ride to come and pick them up to go play soccer. They're playing football out here, not today, but they play football. Now, there's nothing wrong with those activities, but is Sunday morning the best time? Or, here's a good idea for me. We're going to have church Saturday night. We get our building, I want Saturday night church. So some of you guys are going to go, yeah, I'll go Saturday night. So you know, we need to be not only there, but see, we get busy. I got things to do, you know, and I got stuff I got to get done. And, you know, and you come to church and the pastor said, you know, and it's like, I'm excited. I'm pumped up. Oh, you know what? We're going to go prayer walking today. Some of you guys are going to get to drive. We're going to go walking. That sounds good, Pastor. I'm going to go. I'll be there, Pastor. I'm going to join you on that. We're going to walk around Salida. You go out and have lunch, and you get busy, and you get preoccupied. Oh, man, the Niners are on. Shoot. NASCAR is racing. Oh, man. Can't say baseball. Something else. You know, something else. Pastor, I was going to be there, but something else just popped up, and I just... Is that kind of a preoccupied mind? Now, maybe I'm putting some pressure. Tweak, tweak, come to prayer. Come to our prayer walk. I don't know. Hint, hint. We're going to have fun. But I must eliminate the distractions. You know, I'm willing to bet. You know, you could probably cut half the stuff out you do that you feel you have to do, and you'd be better off physically, spiritually, and emotionally. How many of you have been in a boat like I've been in sometimes? I got 3 meetings on one night to go to. Anybody? Anybody? I'm supposed to be in 3 different places. That's when I really lose my temper trying to drive places. I got to get there quick so I can get over to this other one. Anybody? Anybody been? We get preoccupied. We got all this stuff going on. See, if we're going to grow in God's word, we got to kind of pull back into God's word. And the last one was the good soil. The good soil is the willing mind. You know, you want to, you desire, you want to study God's word. You're saying, God, yes. Before even God tells you what to do, God, I'm going to do whatever you say. I don't care what it is. I say yes now. Now tell me what you want. Most of us want to know first. But the good soil says, I don't care, God. I've said yes. This is a decision I've made. And Lord, we've talked, God, wherever, whatever, I've already said yes. You just tell me what it is. Period. I'm not going to. Just say yes. See, a willing mind. And so I put the action is, I cooperate with God. I just, whatever God says, that's good with me. See, I need to grow through God's word. I need to spend some time. And so Jesus tells this parable, what's your attitude? I'm going to ask you, what's your attitude? Are you letting things choke you out? Has it just been kind of superficial? It feels good. It sounds good. You get an emotional high, then you walk out and it's like, okay. Fifth thing, right, real quick, I got to act on it. I need to act on God's word. I need to act and live it out. And here's a scripture that we had for this one. This one was the one, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. Don't deceive yourself. We deceive ourselves. We let things deceive ourselves. So let's look at what we went through to as we look at God's word, how not to do it. How do we get God's word into our life? I have these five. Isn't it 5, 6 P's? You got your 6 P's? Look at these 6. We got to picture it. Anybody remember that study? Anybody remember picture it? How about the next one? Anybody remember the pronounce it method? Had that good time pronouncing it? How about the next one? How about paraphrase? Anybody remember kind of paraphrasing God's word? What's next? Personalize it. I like this one. I really do. I really like personalizing it. I didn't care so much for pro, but that one got harder. That Space Pets thing, I struggled with that one. But I did it, you know. But I have to say, pray it. I thought this was great. You know, I got to act on it. It's about, here's the word you want to write down here. Somewhere write the word application. You got to apply it to your daily life. It does no good if you don't live it out. If it doesn't fit into your life, it does no good. It just doesn't seem to work. We're wrapping up our 40-day study. We're coming to the end of our study. We're almost there. And next week, we're going to celebrate, all right? I'm going to really dwell on this next week. How do I get this into my life? We're going to really dwell on this point next week. Is getting this, how do I get God's word into my life every day? And we're going to celebrate. We're going to have a potluck dinner. You need to sign up for something. We're going to have a great time. We're going to enjoy potluck. We're going to enjoy fellowshipping and all of that kind of stuff. My home group's already talking about going out for dinner on Monday after we finish our study. One of my home, the Monday group's going to go out for dinner. We already picked a place, Taco Bell. So we're going to go out for dinner. So I'm already excited about our Monday group. We're going to have our Monday study this week, and next week we're going to Taco Bell. All right. So then we want to celebrate. We want to have a good time. See, I want to get God's word. This is one of my disappointing things for me is how many people think being a Christian is sad. It's drudgery. It's a duty. It's a pain. You can't have any fun being a Christian. You know what? I am having a blast in life. I got some problems. Storms are coming, all right? I have my share. This morning, my smoke detectors go off. I turn the heater on and the smoke detectors go off. Well, I don't know what's going on. You know, the house is not on fire. You know? So we get them off and I get down here to church and Laura calls and in the background I hear, yank, yank, yank. And she can't get the smoke detectors to go off. So she has to run down here, get me the car so I can run home and unplug all the smoke detectors. Then she has to go home and finish everything up so she can come back. Man, this is a wonderful day, God. Yeah, we're starting off on the right foot. We all have days like that. But you know what? I wouldn't take anything for what God's doing in my life and the joy of being here with you today. I am having a blast. It's fun. To sit and enjoy the fun, the fellowship, the friendship. You know, see, act on what God's word says. Put this thing into your life. But you got to trust it. You have to trust it. This is that sixth point. You got to trust it. Do you trust God's word? We began with this. Dan and Ron helped me share this. Trusting God's word. It hasn't changed for centuries. Historically, it's correct. Thematically, it's great. You just went down. Remember, we had like 7 points, and we drove those home, that first sermon, that you can trust God's word. I'm going to tell you, you have friends that don't always have the best interest for you. They give you advice, don't you? I even had a parent. I've shared with you my story. You know, I'm going to go to college to be a preacher. I'm sitting on the couch before I leave talking to my mom. Mom says, listen, just in case this preaching thing don't work, take some extra classes. What do you mean don't work? God called, you go. That's it. You know? That was good advice. It really was. Sound reasonable. Sounded good. Sounded logical. That's not what God wanted for me. See, sometimes your friends got advice for you. Do you trust them? Who do you trust to give you advice? Who do you trust to have them? You know, even well-meaning friends. You know, and so we need to trust God's word. Look at what this scripture says. The word is a lamp for my feet and a light on my path. You notice how many of these passages came from Psalms 119? Longest chapter in the Bible. Psalms 119, 105. Isn't that 105? Yeah. Psalms 119:105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's a flashlight. The Bible is a flashlight. It's a light. Have you ever been in the darkness? I was talking to my granddaughter this week. She got to go to fifth grade camp. She went to Moaning's Caverns? Isn't it? Isn't that what it's called? Yeah. She went to Moaning's Caverns. Whatever it is. Moaning's. Okay. Whatever it is. She went to these caverns up in the foothills over here somewhere. All right. And they took her down. I guess they went down like 160 feet or something. It's way down underground. And they get down underground. And she says, the guy turns the lights off. And she goes, it's dark. She goes, not just dark, it is dark, real dark. You need a light. They turn the lights on. You ever feel like that in your life, that you got a decision to make and you're kind of in the dark with which way to go? You got a question in life and you're wrestling with, what should I do? How should I behave? What should I, you know, maybe it's a job. Maybe it's credit card debt. Maybe it's a home. Maybe it's children. I don't know. Maybe it's parents. I don't know. And you're in this darkness, and it's kind of like, what do I do? What do I do? How do I respond? The scripture is the light. The Bible's the light. In the midst of your darkness, and you have questions, and you have concerns, and you need, and you have needs, turn to God's word. See, when you're stressed and you need calming, God's word can calm you. When you're confused and you need direction, God's word can direct you. When you're hurting and you're suffering and you need comfort, God's word can comfort you. But you got to turn it on. That means you got to open it. See, I want to challenge you. Don't let it end with 40 days. We're almost there. You've almost made it. You know, I'm feeling good. I'm almost there. But don't say, that's it. It's done. I want to challenge you. Will you pick it up after the 40 days? Will you pick it up after 40 days? You know, it does no good to have a Bible sitting on your shelf. That Bible sitting on the shelf is not going to comfort your heart. Well, I had the Bible in my house. My house burnt down, but the Bible didn't. All right. Yeah. If you want the Bible to make a difference in your life, you need to spend time with it. See how it's changed? It just keeps changing. And I could leave that tea bag in there a long time and it would just keep changing. You know, as you're living your life and you're battling things and you got questions and good things, bad things, and things going on. If you want some changes to happen, you want to change your character, you want to change your nature, God's word can do it. Just like this tea bag is changing this water to tea, God's word can change you. In your heart, in your life. And I want to challenge you with that. So as you look at the next step at the bottom of the page, I want to ask you, you know, this is up to you. Will you commit to being in your small group after the 40 days? It's not going to be on the screen. I don't have it on the screen. But will you commit? I don't think I did. Will you commit to being in? Will you commit to say, I'm going to stay in a small group. I'm going to stay in a small group. I'm going to commit to staying. It's not going to end with 40 days. How about the next one? Will you commit to staying in the Word daily? Will you say, I'm going to spend some time. I might just put a CD in. I might play an MP3. Will you commit to staying in God's Word? And then how about the last one? Will you have a party? Will you have a party? I want to challenge you. I'm going to have a party because it's fun to be a part of what God is doing. There's joy in the Lord. And it's exciting. You have a party? I want to end this morning with this verse. Let's go back to that verse right there because this is your memory verse. So you know what we're going to do? Anybody got an idea what we're going to do? We're going to do it, right? So we do it again. We're going to say the reference. We're going to read, say the verse, say the reference. So are you guys ready? Let's get ready. Okay, here we go. Psalm 119, 105. Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light on my path. Psalm 119, 105. All right. It's right there. I messed it up. Let's do it again, because since I messed up, you got to help me out here. You ready? Psalm 119, 105. Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light on my path. Psalm 119, 105. All right, I want you to memorize God's word, because I'm serious. When you do, like I say, I sit here with you right now. I stand here with you this right now. I cannot say all six of those verses. Do I know them? Yes. I know those verses. But I don't think I could say them on the spot in front of everybody. That's challenging. But I know them. But this is what I do know. When I need it, it will be there on the forefront of my mind, in the forefront of my heart, because I put it in my heart already. Will you put God's word into your heart? Will you make it a difference in your life? Will you let it change your nature, change your character, to be somebody special that God has shed his grace and his love? Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you for your words and your truths, that you're not just a God of the past, but a God of today, that you love us and you care for us, that your truths and that your words are real. Let your word, Lord, this morning, I just want to pray right now for these that are here. Maybe our friends, maybe our family that aren't here that we have heartache and concern for. Lord, hearts that are struggling, hearts with fear, I ask you to calm them today. I ask you to enlighten our minds, Lord, as we wrestle with questions and decisions. To strengthen our will to do what is right. When it doesn't fit, it doesn't seem, we might not want to, we might not like it, even though your word says it, we might disagree, but we know we need to do it. Strengthen our will. Calm our worries. Lead us through this darkness, Lord, whatever it may be, wherever they're traveling. Lord, guide us and direct us that we may be a people of God. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.